Now Kroger. Oh, Kroger got the right hand free.
He's loose with the right hand, and he starts to retaliate. And down goes Nyland, and the two of them are hammering each other.
Knights of Columbus, that hurt.
It's old time hockey, the way you're supposed to play. You throw a little lumber if a guy gets in your way. You play like Gordie Howe or Eddie fucking Shore. We can't all be Gretzky's, the loser Bobby Orr's.
The enforcer of all hockey podcasts. It's the biscuit. It's the biscuit.
Damn it! Their school regulation size are what?
The enforcer of all hockey podcasts.
God help the fucking day if fighting's ever banned. There's a country we'll stop working on so Batman's fucking can.
Hi, everybody. It's the biscuit podcast.
Hey, you wanna go? Yeah, okay. Good luck, man. Good luck to you too, buddy.
Oh, my brother.
Geeky
Munch! You just take a big hit of crack?
So, Gatekeeper, what's up, my dude?
What's going on, my brother?
I'm already fucking rolling, dude.
All right, cool, man.
We're going fucking right into it, dude. I know you don't need a, hey, how we doing? But hey, how we doing?
You know, blasting a little bit of metal, a little bit of crack beforehand, right into
it. It seems like the crack has been a little bit better than usual.
It's been a slow summer, my friend.
Hey, what have you been listening to?
You know, Amon Amarth, I think, has been my newest obsession.
Okay, fuck yeah, dude. Have you ever had the pleasure to see them gentlemen live?
Interesting story. This last summer at the Open Air Festival here in Chicago, I didn't go for any of the first two days, but we had to go there for the third day because the Mighty Slayer was playing.
Yes.
So I can't miss Slayer. Can't miss my boy KFK. So we actually got there in enough time to see Amon Amarth, and I know that Johan is a big hockey fan, and so – it just as we were walking in the door, Amon Amarth was opening their set, so I did get to see him, and I was lucky enough to have the pleasure of speaking with Johan after.
Nice.
And after Slayer then played later that night, and talked to Johan for about a good 10 minutes about hockey. So that was like one of the highlights of my summer.
Fuck yeah! I didn't know he was a hockey fan, dude. I'm pretty sure like all I knew about him was he was super into Motorhead and like vacuuming his house, and you know being huge.
Yeah, he's. I guess his wife actually works with an NHL team, or is it an NHL team? I think it's an NHL team. Something with like you know kinesiology or something having to do with training. But his wife does work with a hockey team somewhere.
What the fuck is kinesiology?
Well, it's like a you know the training of the body, and you know. It might be a yoga thing. It's something like that.
It sounds like something,
you know, trash painting and things like that.
It sounds like something illegal that would happen to, like, an animal, like, sexually.
I know. Don't ask me why I know that. I just do.
Well, shit, dude. I do have to. What's that?
I think I used it in a post one time. So I just figured I'd hang on to that one. Keep it all in the old brain bucket. So,
well, I guess I should introduce you. I mean, I know you and you know me, but the Biscuit Babies, this is your first time on. I've had the pleasure of being on the Blackhawks Shoutcast with you. But you are Mr. Gatekeeper of the Blackhawks Shoutcast, Puck and Hostile. And you are the man, dude, and you are the one, the only one I could go to for the season preview of your Chicago Blackhawks, dude.
Yeah, we've been, I actually started this site, about 7-8 years ago. I've always been a Blackhawks fan, my entire life. And just, you know, I'm a little older, 43. So, you know, I've been around for, you know, I've been a Blackhawks fan since probably the mid 80s. And so we saw that. I saw a lot of dark periods.
You've been through it all, man, as a Blackhawks fan.
Yeah. I've been through the heartbreak. I've been through the heartbreak of the, losing the cup to the Penguins in the 90s. It was like my senior year in high school. That was, I still hate the Penguins because of it.
Hey, I hate them too. Don't worry about it.
I
haven't had the opportunity, and probably never will, the opportunity to lose a cup to them. But yeah. So last season.
Yeah. So last season.
So
I'm gonna get all these hate tweets. Blackhawks got swept. Blackhawks got swept.
Yeah. The Blackhawks got swept.
Really?
Yeah, what the fuck happened?
Here. Holy Jesus.
Oh, dude, you got it hooked up?
What is that?
Holy
I even
shit.
I got the soundboard hooked for you.
Oh, my God, dude. That just made my whole fucking day, dude. If you guys don't know, you have to listen to the Shoutcast because Gatekeeper is the lord of the soundboard, man. That's my favorite part of the podcast. Obviously, you guys deliver great hockey news, and the format of it too. You guys usually do general news and then get into the Blackhawks stuff, you know, at a midway point or whatever. But that soundboard, dude, that's crucial, man.
And I even made sure that I had your sound clip.
You might not believe it, but Under Fire, Animal Mother's one of the finest human beings in the world. All he needs is somebody to throw hand grenades at him the rest of his life.
There you go.
You are the man. You are the fucking... How did the... I think I asked you this on the Shoutcast, but how did the soundboard give birth and, you know, how do you decide what gets on it?
Well, okay. I grew up a fan of Howard Stern. Big fan of Howard Stern. And I was always, like, amazed by the sound clips that Fred Norris would play in the background during, you know, all the interviews and stuff like that, and just how quick he was with all of them. And over the years, I was such a huge fan that, you know, I could predict what he was going to play and what, you know, and I just, for some reason, that struck me, and I loved that part of the show. So when I started decided to do a podcast with a friend of mine, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to do something a little different because not everyone has a soundboard that can play clips from movies or my favorite movies or even Blackhawks clips or things like that, just at will. So I figured out a way to be able to get this soundboard, and I got, you know, 12 pages or something of different sounds that I sorted out. And it's not easy to juggle it all the time, especially when I'm hosting the show, but I try to do an okay job.
No, I want to tell you that it seems, I don't know if it's because you guys have done so many of them, but like you and your co-host, the Pats, everybody, they're really good at knowing like, oh shit, there might be a sound clip coming here. There's not really a lot of overlap over it. You do a really good job of it, my man.
Thanks, man. Thanks, man. I really appreciate that because I try. You know, it's not easy to juggle like everything that's going on. I've literally got like basically 4 monitors in front of me that juggles between the recording and the outlines and, you know, Twitter. We watch Twitter while it's going on. And I've got the soundboard going on at the same time. So,
now that's interesting, watching Twitter while you podcast, man. I might have to steal that from you guys.
Yeah. Yeah. That's because generally our fans, you know, we don't do it like live per se. Like they can't listen to a live stream, kind of like I believe how you do it.
Correct.
And so people know when we're recording. We kind of let them know ahead of time, and we let them queue up for questions or whatever. But they kind of know when we're recording, and they will pipe in. How's it going? It's going. Send us pictures. They will send us articles when they know we're recording, so that they can kind of, you know, be part of it, even though they're not actually listening to it real time.
Dude, that's special, man, and people appreciate that kind of shit too, man. That makes them feel more part of the show, and that's, I think, a lot of why people listen to podcasts is it's a very intimate thing. You know, you have most of the time for me, I have my headphones on, and it feels like, you know, I'm hanging out with you talking hockey, you know, bullshitting. You know, when I listen to the Shoutcast or when I listen to Fourth Line Voice or anything like that, it feels like I'm kicking it with my buddies, you know, talking fucking hockey.
Right.
So
I totally feel the same way. I mean, I put the headphones on. It's like we're all in the same room drinking a beer or drinking a Red Bull or, you know, whatever we're doing and just talking hockey. Nothing else matters for like that, you know, 2 to 3 hours that we're recording.
Well, it's beautiful, man, and I appreciate what you guys do, but we do – have to talk about the Blackhawks getting swept.
In last season. Yeah. Of course, not anything.
Not only were they getting swept, but like they weren't scoring. Like something happened, right?
Yeah, we kind of mentioned this, and we recorded our 88th episode last night. So
congratulations!
Anyone wants to listen to that too. I mean, you know, there's going to be some things that we'll talk about here that we talked about last night, but there'll probably be some other things that we didn't talk about last night. But moving on, you know, they got blown out the door. Really, they did. And the funny part about it was when it was announced that they were gonna, you know, play the Preds. No one was worried in Chicago. No, none of us were worried. We'd beaten the Preds many times before. They were never much of a problem.
I don't think anybody in my circle of hockey was worried. I was like, well, Chicago's got that in the fucking bag.
Yeah, and the Blackhawks has finished so well. You know, it looked on paper like the Blackhawks were just rolling at that point in time. And I said it last night, you know, the first game happened and they were shut out. And like, I said it right straight out after the game. I'm not worried one bit. This does not worry me. Blackhawks have overcome way worse. Second game came around. They were shut out for that game too. I even came out after that and said, you know what? This doesn't really necessarily worry me. You know,
I remember this on Twitter. You did keep a very cool head about it.
We've learned that over the years. I mean, the Blackhawks, of course, have had, you know, how many teams have had the success the Blackhawks have had the last couple of years?
Not mad. Zero. Yeah. You know?
The Pens, and, you know, for a while the Kings were doing it. But the consistent, you know, success that they've had, we've learned to not panic. And last year I think that kind of bit us in the ass because by the time that the Blackhawks were even really able to do anything at all, they were down 3-0, and they just weren't able to recover.
No.
The Preds just, you know, I got to give them credit. They got hot at the right time. Their goalie got hot at the right time. And everything, kind of, you know, all the planets aligned for them all at the same time.
Yep.
And the Blacks just came in with a big head, and they were showing the door.
That's what I had a gentleman on earlier today, and he covered the Preds for me. And that was, you know, what we had said was, Predators came in hot. They came in hot, and it wasn't like they weren't afraid of the Blackhawks, but I think the Blackhawks just thought they were the Blackhawks. Like, oh, this is what we do. We go to Stanley Cups.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And then, but to their credit, they did, I mean, yes, they got swept, but they did get swept by a team that pretty much steamrolled their way into the fucking, to the Cup final.
Yeah, and I got to give the Preds credit. I mean, you know, I was hard on their fans. A lot of their fans I'm not really a big fan of. But
their fans are, for me, getting – they took that winning to their heads. Yeah. And they got a little bit – they need a winter or something.
They're passionate. They're
yeah,
very passionate.
Yeah.
I'll give them that. You know, they're super passionate. Sometimes they get a little bit in over their heads, but circling back, the team itself is a good team. It's a good solid team from top to bottom. There's not really the superstar. You say, you know, Ryan Johansson, you could say PK Subban, but there's not really, you know, that superstar other than Subban. He's a name more
yeah.
than any.
Yeah, he's the softest bitch in the game, but people that don't know hockey know PK Subban.
He's a personality.
Yeah, exactly.
Personality. So, yeah, it's, you know, they're just a good solid team from top to bottom. They got a good defense. I've always liked Pekka. He was kind of falling off for a little while.
See, I've always thought he was a turd. I've always thought he was a turd, and I think that was the best hockey we're ever going to see him play.
I can agree with that. Yeah, he's getting later. He's getting a little further down the road. And we kind of talked about that, the whole top 10 goalies thing that they had on the NHL
Network. Oh, Jesus Christ, dude.
And Evan Pekka at number 10. I mean, he's, you know, he's on the back nine of his career, and he's been injured a lot recently. So they kind of caught lightning in a bottle with him too, that he didn't get injured. He played very well. he was good earlier in his career, and then he started to kind of fall off, and then he kind of had like a resurgence just last year. It was like everything just lined up perfectly for him.
Hey, that's how you make it to the Cup a lot of times, is shit hits in the right time. Like Columbus in their 16-game winning streak last year. If that would have happened during playoff time, you know, look what you're doing. You're going to the Stanley Cup. I mean, those streaks, that's, you know, where it falls into the season is a big key.
Yeah, 2015 and 2013 are prime examples of that with the Blackhawks. 2013, man, everything just – they just rumbled right through the season, rumbled right through the playoffs. I mean, they hit lightning in a bottle there. And in 2015, I mean, they had no business winning that cup. That was Joel Quenneville's crowning achievement. They played with 3.5 defensemen the entire playoffs.
Ugh.
You know, Scott Darling had his little shining moment early on.
Yes, he did.
Where he saved Corey Crawford and the entire team, and then Corey Crawford came in then and saved Scott Darling, and then won out the rest of the playoffs.
I think that game you're talking about with Scott Darling, I think that single-handedly saved his career. If you happen to read that letter that he wrote for the Players Tribune about, you know, his alcoholism and going down and playing in, you know, Southern butt crack leagues and. And now look at him, just, you know, unfortunately leaves Chicago, but you can't blame the man. He's got to go try to, you know, start somewhere. And obviously was heartbroken about leaving Chicago, but that game, he even talks about it in that piece where he felt like, holy fuck, I can play goalie again. I can do this.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, of course he didn't want to stay and the organization wanted him to stay, but you're between a rock and a hard place. You got Corey Crawford, you know, he's back, you know, he's still got 3 years on his contract. He's got a no movement or modified no movement clause. So they can't really do much with him.
How old is Corey?
Corey's 32.
Okay.
So, I mean, he had a modified no trade clause where he had to give like a list of 10 teams that he could be traded to. So that kind of really limits the market for him. And so when it came down to it, they had to trade the rights of Darling and they had got a little something for him. And Darling makes he's signed a contract for like $4 million a year. So more power to him. He's got to make his money, you know?
Yeah, absolutely, man. And he, you know, he got it. He got his cup and he did very well as a backup for you guys last year.
Yeah, for sure.
He took a bigger bulk of games too than he's used to, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh yeah. He's never been a full-time starter in the NHL. And, you know, it's nice to have the luxury of, you know, playing behind Corey Crawford, who's played very well.
So hey, that'll be interesting to see how he does, because, you know, playing 18 games a year is hard, but playing fucking 60, 70 is a different beast altogether.
Yeah, I've watched Darling and Crawford with a critical eye because I myself am a goalie.
Yes, sir.
I've never played at any, you know, high level, but I've played goalies since, you know,
You still know, play, man. That's playing goalie at 43. That's high level shit, dude.
Yep. 43. Yep. Still playing in the beer leagues. Still playing.
You play now. You play roller and ice, don't you?
Yeah. Yep. I play both year round. You know, I do all right. I've played some tournament hockey, travel tournaments, and things like that. So I'm still kind of hanging in there with the young guys, but you know. Kind of looking back, I've got the critical eye with the goalies, so I've watched Darling, and you know, it scared me to think that they may have, you know, jettisoned Crawford, who is highly underrated, even in our own fan base.
Yeah,
I don't understand why, but he is highly underrated. He's the top 10 goalie. And at one point, he was a top 5 goalie.
Yeah, he definitely was.
But Darling, I mean. He showed flashes here and there. He played very well in a backup role, but teams were not game planning for Scott Darling. Teams mm-hmm. were game planning for Corey Crawford.
Dude, I don't even think Crawford's that far out of a top five right now, to be honest with you.
No, I would, you know, of course, people are going to say that I'm a homer and stuff like that, but, you know, I'm as critical of the Blackhawks as anyone is. You know, that's the reason why my site is, you know, named the way it is and everything. You know, I'm hard on that team.
Oh, yeah. Even
winning cups, I'm still hard on the team. So it's like, you know, he's about, you know, 7, 8. I think realistically 7-8 in that you know, you guys got a good guy there and you know, Bobrovsky, so
dude, how sick is Sergei?
He's good. He does things that, you know, I can't. He's flexible, he's quick. I mean, he amazes me with a lot of the things that he does. He's kind of underrated because of the fact that you guys are just, you know, you guys are that.
Yeah, he plays in Columbus. That doesn't help. And then we just got to keep winning. We got to win a fucking playoff series, man.
Yeah.
That's
we've said it, me and Stankus on or Fat Trick, as we call him, we said this many times. We love going to Columbus. We love to watch the CBJs. You guys are like the stepbrothers of our fandom. And, you know, of course, we go there when the Blackhawks play, so we're going to root for our Blackhawks. But, I mean, we always like to see the CBJs. And I went there a couple of years ago, and we're going to probably plan one. The Blackhawks play the CBJs, like, in February, I think.
Boys, if you go, let me know.
We're definitely going to plan it. The only reason we didn't do it last year is because the game was early on in the year and we didn't have enough time to get it together. But next year, the plan is to, after the new year, the plan is to come see the Hawks play your CBJs.
Dude, let me know. I will meet you down there with the wife. We'll fucking slam beers and listen to Slayer in the parking garage. Have a good time.
Of course. Of course.
Hell yeah. Yeah, I hate to... And you can come watch the Breadman play, dude.
Yeah, this is true. That's another thing, you know. There's a little connection between the CBJs and the Blackhawks, which is, you know, the trade that happened a few years ago where you ended up with Brandon Saad.
Yep.
And we ended up with Artem Anisimov. And,
and
now coming back, circling back, we kind of reverse the trade a little bit where you get Panarin and we get our Sider back, and you guys actually – got us our backup goalie to replace Scott.
Now, I was just about to ask you, is Forsberg set to be the backup?
If you ask the organization, yes.
Okay.
I'm not as convinced that he is definitely
100%. He's scary on NHL ice, man. He's a different dude in the AHL.
Yeah. I see he's done very well. He did, you know, he won a championship in the AHL and stuff like that. I want to see him actually play in person, whatever. The Blackhawks also made like a sneaky under the radar signing this summer because really they had nothing as far as goaltending depth from the top of the organization down. They had Corey Crawford and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone else, like their contracts expired. They had nothing. So I actually wrote this whole article about how the Blackhawks are going to, you know, what do they do now? They need to do some work this summer. And they made a sneaky under-the-radar signing, which is J.F. Berube. He used to be in the Kings organization and was kind of claimed on waivers with the Islanders.
He had some good games for the Islanders.
Mm-hmm. But kind of goalies go die there. I mean, generally, you know, that organization is kind of in a bunch of turmoil and stuff like that. So people kind of forgot about him a little bit. But he was kind of highly thought of, you know, a year or two ago.
For sure.
I got to sign him, and he's kind of like – he's in that kind of like 2A or 2B slot. If he comes into camp and really shows something, he really could
– dude, that's your backup.
Down the depth chart a little bit.
That's your backup. I'll tell you right now, Forsberg is not going to beat him out as the backup.
I'm a big Berube fan, so I would not be opposed to that.
Now, I've seen, and I've watched Forsberg from Cleveland to Columbus to back to Cleveland, because at a time, Columbus was playing Forsberg and Corpusalo to see, you know, kind of test out who's going to fucking back up Bob. And this was before this was right when they're dealing McElhenney to Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
And Forsberg fucking kills it in Cleveland. Like, the AHL, he doesn't give a fuck. You're not scoring on him. He has that confidence of winning the Calder Cup. Mm-hmm. But there's something happens to him. Maybe he needs that starter Bravosa or whatever. Or, like, he just has to get more used to it and get more time in there. But from what he's done in the AHL, he's a good goalie, but I just have not seen him do it at all at the level where he needs or he wants to be, you know?
Yeah, Stan Bowman came out and basically said he was going to be their backup, but, you know, things can change.
A lot can happen.
Yeah, things have changed here in Chicago. I mean, we had Antti Raanta here, and then Scott Darling came out of nowhere, and then Antti Raanta was gone. Like, things have happened. I think it's going to come down to a waiver situation, who's eligible to be sent down without going through waivers, and that's going to really basically show you who the backup will be. I think that's what it's going to end up being. I think it's going to be a closer race for the backup goalie situation than some people think it is.
Yeah. And that's when it gets to the contract shit like that, Mr. Bowman will do a good job in deciding on, you know, where that goes, in my opinion.
Now, that happened with Corey Crawford and Antti Niemi way back when, and it ended up being Antti Niemi sticking around. He won that cup in 2010. And, you know, look where we are now. So
yeah. Now, who's left in the front office?
Well, I mean, really the changes were mostly done in the, you know, in I think it was not scouting, but they cleaned house as far as like the assistant coach goes.
Yes.
And in the AHL, they cleaned that staff out.
Now, was that something as a Blackhawks fan you were concerned with, or were you surprised? I mean, it seemed like after the last two seasons, how the playoffs went for the Blackhawks, something was going to happen.
Oh, for sure.
You know?
Bowman was pissed when that happened. And so was McDonough. The entire front office was embarrassed. I mean, he came out and laid it on the line. He was not happy. And, you know, Mike Kitchen, who they let go, he was Quenville's little, as I said it last night, little retarded brother. I mean, Quenville kind of drags him around everywhere he goes. He's his little buddy, and I've never been a big fan of Mike Kitchen. I think that he's held back the defense, the young defenseman on the team, while letting the older, sometimes not as talented defenseman play just because they were the favorites, and which has led to people like, you know, Mike Paliota being let go and being sent to CBJ, you know, a couple years ago, and Steven Johns kind of being thrown into a deal and sent to Dallas, and Adam Clendenning. I mean, you can debate the worth of those players, but, you know, they were not exactly brought through the system well here in Chicago.
Yeah.
And I kind of lay some of that blame on Mike Kitchen. Plus, you know, when he does the special teams, those special teams don't seem to do very well either. So
now, this is something something as a Blackhawks fan that like would drive me absolutely nuts is you guys almost seem like, I don't want to say the farm team for the rest of the league, but everybody gets your guys' rejects. Like you guys build other teams.
Yeah. This is true. But on the other hand, too, you know, it's something we kind of discuss at length with as far as prospects and sometimes the fan base overvaluing prospects. The Blackhawks, up until the last couple of years, since like Kane and Taves and, you know, Seabrook and Keith, and those guys were all drafted kind of in the previous, you know, with Dale Talon, not Stan Bowman. The first probably 6 years of Stan Bowman being here in Chicago, the Blackhawks didn't draft well at all. And we would hear about these prospects, and they would never end up in the NHL, and then they would dump them off like Steven Johns, or they didn't develop from like 2009 to like, you know, just recently. They didn't develop a single defenseman other than Nicholas Chalmerson in the system for like 7 years. That really did anything at all.
Really?
So, I mean, as far as like,
so they're just, go, they're yeah, just they, they acquiring talent and then dealing talent back out.
Well, they draft them. They kind of develop them for a little while. I don't know if there was a problem with development in the lower levels or what it was, you know, but then they would, you know, we would hear about these prospects that were great prospects and this and that. Steven Johns is going to be the next, you know, maybe Brent Seabrook or something like that. He still hasn't done that. I like Steven Johns still to this day. And Mike Paliota, we heard a lot about him. Where has he gone? You know, I mean, yeah. I think he kind of aged out of the CBJ system. And those were our better prospects. These guys can't even barely make it in the NHL. Adam Clendenning's been with like five, six teams in 3 years.
Yeah, yeah, he's turned into a journeyman now. Where the fuck is he right now? New York?
I think he signed with Arizona, but don't quote me on that.
Okay.
Signed with Arizona this year.
So
yeah, so it's the same thing happened like with this year. You hear about, you know, you may have heard or may have heard about, you know, Alex DeBrincat, and this has become a big point of contention with me because people, you know, anointing the next great player, the Blackhawks. You know, it was Teuvo Teravainen, and it was, yeah, you know, this has happened several times, and now they think because he, you know, he kind of slayed some kids down in the OHL, this undersized guy who has a questionable foot speed is going to come into the NHL and just score 50 points in his first. He may not even play in the NHL this season. And if he does, I'd be surprised if he plays, if he played, you know, 50 games in the NHL this season. So
now Sauter coming back, which if I'm not mistaken, when I was on the Shoutcast, you had even said Brandon Sauter's coming back. I think you guys were all expecting him. It was more like a cap issue than anything. He wanted to be in Chicago. I met the dude. You could tell he didn't want to be in Columbus. And he did us very well. I mean, he played well, but he doesn't fit in with the system he came into, and then not at all when Tortorella became part of the picture.
Yeah, the sad thing. That was a sad saga. I mean, loved it in Chicago. He wanted to stay here. You know, they didn't get a deal done with him this summer, and the cap was, you know, low, obviously lower. The Blackhawks are strapped. They can't, you know, because of this and the other thing, they can't necessarily afford an extra $1 million here or there.
Yeah.
He started to price himself out of the market, and Bowman kind of probably had this in his back pocket, but he got to that point where it was rumored that he was going to sign an offer sheet with another team. Bowman had to pull the trigger and try to recover some kind of assets for him. They didn't want to lose him for nothing.
Right.
And you guys ended up with him. Now, is it coming back? The ironic part about that is basically, for all intents and purposes, we ended up trading Brandon Saad for Artemi Panarin to get Panarin. We just signed him as a free agent. And then he kind of took that spot a little bit. Well, then now we signed him to a 2-year bridge deal that starts this year, and it's the same price as Brandon Saad. He's 2 years older than Brandon Saad, and his contract is 2 years less than Brandon Saad. So we actually gained 2 years in age and gained 2 years of that cost-controlled $6 million. Kind of works out for the Blackhawks in the end game.
Anisimov's older than Brandon Saad?
Panarin.
Is he really?
Panarin's older than years, yeah. Saad's only like 24. Panarin's like 20. I think, man, Saad's what? I'm looking here. Got it right in front of me. Saad's 24. Panarin's like 26.
27. No shit. Panarin's got a baby face, man. I would have thought he was younger than Saad.
Well, when he came in the league and he won the Calder, that was the big to-do, was that he was –
you're right, because he was an old rookie.
Yeah.
Yes, I remember that now.
That's basically traded to get back 2 years of age and 2 years of cost-controlled contract. So,
and I'll say, as I'm glad, I'm not glad, I was happy to have Brandon Saad, but I think this trade works out for both. Like you guys said,
I
think it works out for both parties. We could definitely use him on the power play for sure. And Saad just kind of it didn't seem there was just something off. He wants to be in Chicago, and I expect a big year out of Brandon Saad.
Oh, for sure. And I expect probably Panarin, he may not have as good a year as he had in Chicago, but I expect him to have a very good year. I expect him to be able to sell and score a lot of goals there.
I think his numbers might not be as good, but the way he plays is going to be more beneficial to this team. Obviously, he's not going to be on the line with the guys he was in Chicago, so he's going to have a little more difficulty. But I really think it is good, and I think it'll be beneficial to his game to get there. And I'm glad to get another Russian in, too, maybe make Bob a little happier and – you know, they can drink vodka and eat tomatoes and whatever weird shit they do, you know, and bond on that aspect as well.
And where I think this trade really works out, I mean, like, I think the words you were looking for, what you were looking for with Brandon Saad is he's not your traditional, like, star player. He's like that second tier of
stars. That's dead on the fucking nail, man.
Yeah, we have Kane, we have Taves, we have Keith, and you could even throw Crawford in there. And Saad is like that second tier, and he's fine there. Like I think he enjoys being.
He's a quiet man. Guys
get the spotlight.
He's a very quiet man, and I got that from meeting him because in Columbus he was King Tut, you know, especially that first year. So we went down.
I made him uncomfortable, to be honest with you. Now Artemi Panarin, on the other hand, the kid, he's got the baby face, he's got the smile, he's got the happy, you know, always laughing, like young child,
yeah,
enjoying the game kind of thing. He's got like, you know, face of the franchise kind of star look to him and feel to him, and he's flashy. He'll score pretty goals. You guys got, you know, that great power play that you had all last year, which Panarin excels at.
Yes.
So I it fits perfect into what you guys have going on there. And conversely, I think Brandon Saad, you know, gives us back something that we haven't had in a couple of years, which is actually the better version of Jonathan Taves.
Woo! And
that's what we need.
Woo!
We'll see. We're hoping.
All right, dude. Well, okay. Here we go. What? Marian Hossa is gone. Right?
Yeah.
I don't think that hurts as much as... I don't think that hurts as much as what's been written about it. I mean, obviously, it's a bummer to see him. Did he retire officially then?
No, he's not going to officially retire. He's going to go on LTIR for the next 4 years. He's got 4 years left on his contract. If he retires, the Blackhawks actually get hit with a cap recapture penalty,
which is basically
what the salary is of his the actual salary of his contract, or actually his cap hit minus his salary. Whatever's left over, they get hit with that, which is like about $4 million a year as a penalty. So if he stays active, goes on LTIR, kind of like a Chris Pronger or a
Johan Franzen,
you guys had Horton or, you know, David Clarkson or something like that.
Yes.
They use that LTIR. So he's not going to officially retire, but you've seen the last of Marian Hossa is a NHL hockey player.
That's sad, man. That's sad. It's like that. What's going on in Detroit with Johan Franzen? It's the same deal. He's not ever playing again, but he's still on the fucking roster. You know what I mean? It's got to be that part of that contract shit. Yarmolson goes to Arizona. That one hurts me. He was one of my favorite Blackhawks.
Yeah. He's arguably the best defenseman in the league, which is something, you know, Blackhawks covet and Joel Quenneville covets. So seeing him go and at his contract is very manageable.
Yeah.
So seeing him go really.
That was surprising to me.
I mean, the sad thing has been right after the Jamerson thing, like literally minutes after the Jamerson thing happened. And everyone was like, oh, Saad for Panarin. Okay, that's fine. But everyone, the Jamerson one, like it hit everyone right in the chest.
Yeah, that one was rough. Sharp came back, didn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, he signed, he kind of did what Brian Campbell did the year before.
Right.
Whereas basically just begged to play for the Blackhawks. he signed an $800,000 contract, which is.
Yeah, he's old as.
I was upset at it.
It seems like a wasted roster spot. He's old as piss.
Yeah. You know, I was upset about it at the time. I mean, he had two serious concussions last year. He had off-season hip surgery. He's not the Patrick Sharp that left here. And the Patrick Sharp that left here was a declining Patrick Sharp that was playing in the third line.
Yeah.
So people have this, you know, the delusions of grandeur of this Patrick Sharp who was playing with Patrick Kane scoring a ton of goals. That's not the Patrick Sharp we're getting back. But for $800,000, I guess, you know, basically, you know, with the way the young players coming in on the roster, or if they want, you know, Patrick Sharp to play third line for $800,000 and we can get 15, 20 goals out of him, so
yeah.
Yeah,
why not? What else has happened in the offseason, my man? Who what else have you seen?
Well, I mean, we have had a fluctuation of young players that came up last year. Ryan Hartman, Nick Schmaltz, you know, Tanner Carroll, who is kind of under the radar. He's kind of like a third line, fourth line center kind of guy. You know, we need to see those guys kind of continue their growth. Schmaltz had kind of a, you know, a so-so year last year. Hartman had a really good year. 22 years old, you know, played a good, like, third line, gritty winger, scored more goals than anyone expected him to score. Schmaltz needs to grow to the next level. He may end up on the left wing with Kane and Anisimov, or they may try Sharp there to start off with. I think eventually they want him to play center. You know, I don't know.
We'll see how that goes. What's that one cat on the team, Panic?
Yeah, as I call him, Dick fucking Panic.
Dude, I like Richard that dude, Panic, man.
Yeah, we got him from Toronto for Jeremy Morin, hashtag Free Morin. That was a thing going here in Chicago for a while. But we got him, basically, we didn't want Morin because we got him back from the CBJs.
Woo-hoo!
And we didn't want him anymore. The organization wanted nothing to do with the guy. But so we basically just dumped him off to Toronto, and we basically took back their dump, which was Richard Panic. And he actually ended the season real well. Like, he scored a lot of, you know, scored some goals. He had a little bit of a straight line grit to the net, like a little bit of a toughness to him. Doesn't back down from anyone. So everyone was kind of excited about, you know, what possibly he could be. But we're like, hey, you know, the next season, full season, is he going to be able to keep it up? I myself went out last year and predicted that I didn't see any reason why he couldn't, you know, put 35 points in, which is what they lost in Shaw, for a fraction of the price, and kind of give you the same toughness. And he went out there and scored 40 points and played on that first line for a majority of the year. So
fucking A.
He actually exceeded expectations for even me. And I was pretty concerned, you know, I was pretty, you know, progressive with my so, yeah.
All right, buddy. We're getting down to crunch time. How long does Quenneville have?
We talked about this a couple times this summer. Joel Quenneville is an excellent coach, probably one of the top two in the league. You guys it's contentious, but you guys have Torts there. My co-host Patrick, big Torts fan.
Yeah, love him. I love a Torts fan, and he's a good Torts fan.
Yeah, he loves the Torts. We actually have a couple. A Torts sound clips on our soundboard because he's such a big
he's got he's some, doesn't he?
So he's all the
building, isn't he? We're not going to whine here. Pittsburgh can whine. Pittsburgh whines enough for the whole league, so there's no room for any other team to whine.
So I had to pull those out. But circling back, Quenneville. Okay, there seems to be a slight disconnect as far as like Bowman and Quenneville go here in Chicago. What Bowman wants for the team and what Quenneville wants for the team don't always jive together. Now, with going out in the first round the past 2 years, there's a lot of pressure on both Bowman and Quenneville. My personal opinion is, if things start to get hairy and we hear from McDonough, or not we, but or Bowman starts hearing McDonough chirping in his ear, what's going to happen is Bowman is going to dump Quenneville to save his own ass. That's going to be his attempt to save his job. So if the Blackhawks come out, and I said yesterday, this might be a little bit of a hot take, but I'm, you know, the Blackhawks come out and lose 6-7 of their first 10, something could happen.
Or whoa. You think so?
Yeah. It's happened here before. Dennis Savard was jumped 8 games into the season for Joel Quenneville when they didn't start off like they had hoped.
Holy fuck, that'd be crazy though, wouldn't it?
But, you know, more likely to happen is that's not the Blackhawks. They'll do all right, at least 500 first 10 games. He'll make it through the season, but if they lose in first round again,
ow, bye-bye.
You could see something happen.
Bye-bye. You can't do it, especially in the fashion of the Predators, you know, when they got swept by the Predators.
And it's not so much that Quenneville has become a bad coach all of a sudden. It's more the like, sometimes the voice, and I said this again last night, the voice in the room sometimes gets a little stale. They've heard it for 10 years.
Yeah.
But sometimes you need to shake things up.
Yeah.
And if something happens, I'm gonna go out now, and I've said it on my podcast a couple times. The next Blackhawks head coach, Kevin Dineen, he's already on the staff. He's been an assistant coach for a couple years now. He's been the head coach of the women's Canadian team that won gold. He's been a head coach down in Florida. I think they're grooming him to step in. They've kept him around by giving him that promise. I think behind closed doors that. If Q goes, you're the next guy.
That's not a bad hire. Women aren't fucking winning gold this winter. Fucking women. The United States is taking that fucking home, dude.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Those are some bad ladies.
I agree. I completely agree.
Did Kane do it?
Oh, jeez. Oh, man, here we go. We're going back to this again. the way I've said it, and I've said it for 2 years now, is something unholy what happened that night. Whether it was Patrick Kane or not, whether he did anything or not, he probably, like I said, something unholy happened that night, but I don't know that necessarily he did what was originally he was accused of doing.
If it wasn't for his hair, I'd believe him.
Yeah, no, it's crazy, isn't it? He might have to let it go, man. Guy myself, I've been shaving my head for 20 years now. You know, being a bald guy myself, let it go. Just let it go.
Dude, you got to. He's got the creepiest haircut in hockey, and that's saying something.
Yeah, it's, you know, I mean, Getzlaf finally did it. Even Jalmerson did. Jalmerson, oh my God, if you look at him, holy shit, that head, that egg head that he has, that is frightening. That is nightmare-inducing.
That's what I had 10-year-long dreads, and it was just like, dude, what the fuck are you doing? Cut your hair. The time has come. The time
has... My favorite pair of Flames, he even finally cut his dreads, so.
Oh, did he really? There's a few dudes that had dreads in there, didn't they?
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah. I mean, it's been years. Anders hasn't had dreads in, I don't know.
Man.
Shit. 5-6 years.
I'll tell you my favorite in Flames record, and it was pivotal to me when I was younger, Clayman. That fucking record changed my life. I think the song is called Square Nothing. That song is the fucking jam, dude.
I can't. This is the favorite band of my entire household. My 5-year-old, his favorite band is In Flames.
Nice.
And I want to tell you a story for your metal fans out there, and I think they'll get a kick out of this. For my 5-year-old, his first birthday, In Flames was actually in town at a small venue here in the Chicago suburbs. So we asked him, "You want to go see In Flames for your birthday?" Now, mind you, he's been to Slipknot. He's been in the pit for Slipknot. At 4, he's seen Of God. He's seen Ghost.
Ooh!
So, you know, he knows his metal a little bit.
A Lamb of God pit will fucking ruin your next day.
Yeah, so we said, "You want to go see In Flames?" And of course, we were going. He said, "Yeah." We were able to get like a VIP package, which kind of you'll get you up in the balcony area. You know, I've been in the pit a million times, and I'm getting too old for that shit. But so we brought both kids, and you know, of course, we got the headphones because we don't want to ruin their ears. And
right, like that's always a good show. Move.
I had actually tweeted at the band, and I do all the time, tweeted at the band saying, you know, hey, we're going to be coming, and this little guy's coming for his birthday, and blah blah blah. They saw the tweets. They saw us rocking out on the balcony. They sent one of the roadies up to come up and grab us. they brought us and the kids, and my little guy, for his fifth birthday, got to be on stage for 4 songs with In Flames.
No shit.
And, yep, I got pictures of them. They were coming over, fist bumping them. It was like, that's the coolest birthday a 5-year-old could have. I mean,
yeah, he fucking peaked. He fucking peaked too early, dude. That's gonna be the best one.
Yeah. So, and then they came up after the show. They all came up and gave them shirts and picks and
wow,
very
dude.
Gracious, great. Yeah,
that's fucking sick. I've seen you've been slaying out there at fucking Blackhawks shop this off season, dude. Are they just giving jerseys away? It seems like you bought like 13 in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's well, you know, with the new Adidas over,
yep.
Basically, you know, the Blackhawks are just trying to get rid of anything CCM or, you know, Reebok. They just want to get rid of it. And literally, they are giving stuff away. This week, or last week, they actually went on one of the commuter trains with just handfuls of jerseys and just handed them out to the people on the commuter train.
What?
Just to give them away. Yeah.
That's what I went and bought. Well, my family bought it for me for Father's Day this year. They're selling the fucking jerseys half off, so I got a new Bob jersey for like $100, dude. I couldn't beat it. And I'm about to go down there next weekend and just clean house.
Well, they have a couple stores in the area, and then they also have a Blackhawks outlet store out at one of the outlet malls, which is not too far from me. So I went out there, and a lot of times what you get there is like the traded players' jerseys and things like that.
Yeah.
But if you look close, you could find yourself some deals, and that's what we did. I ended up getting, like, some of the traded players, like David Rundblad, Nick Leddy. But what I could do is just change the nameplate on the back to one of the current players, which is, you know, Connor Murphy, who's one of our new young defensemen, and Nick Schmaltz. And I was able to get an Anisimov Winter Classic jersey for $35.
Damn!
Yeah, I got the Leddy and Leddy and Rundblad jerseys I got for $30.
How the fuck is that possible?
They're 60% off what their marked prices on the tag.
Getting ready for that. Like, Thank you, Adidas, man. Thank you, Adidas.
And on top of the best thing, too, for all this, too, is the kids' jerseys, $8 a piece.
Wow.
You can't beat that.
No.
Yeah, I got probably 6-7 kids' jerseys for the kids to different sizes for them to grow up with. You know, Hosa, Seabrook, Taves.
That's sick, dude. Do you have an old Probert Blackhawks jersey?
No, I never ended up getting a Probert one. Back in the day, I could never decide on a single favorite player.
It's hard to do.
I do have
dude.
An old Tony Font jersey.
I bought the wife the winter classic Larkin jersey last year, and he had such a shitty season. I'm like, man. If I bought that fucking jersey and that turd's not going to score over fucking 19 goals, I'm gonna go fist fight him myself. All right, dude.
Well, I just got a Black Ice Hosa jersey last year. My fiance got it for me. But, I mean, the guy's going to be a Hall of Famer. So it's
yeah, like, yeah. I think you'll be all right with that one. Larkin isn't had a good rookie season so far.
Yeah.
Okay, so we know what happened in the playoffs last year.
Mm-hmm.
We know how well the Blackhawks played all season long. We know who's there. What do you expect out of these boys this coming season? What was their final record last year?
You're calling me out here on this one. I forgot what the actual record was. I mean, they were over, 108 points or something like that.
And it seemed like they cruised all year long, and it seemed like they never lost more than 3 games in a row. I mean, they were always winning.
They kind of ran through the season. They were 50-23-9 with 109 points.
Right.
And they ended up winning the best record in the Western Conference. So...
Is that the Prince of
You're
Wales?
You're not going to see that this year. I guarantee that.
You don't think so?
No.
Really?
Nope. Not with this defense. I mean, they have 2 defensemen that have any serious NHL experience. Then they have Connor Murphy, who we got for Hjalmarsson, who's still only 24 years old, still a little raw.
Yeah.
And after that, I mean, literally, that's three guys, and then they got, I mean, if you looked at what the NHL Network put up as a prediction, they had Michael Roosevelt, who is 38 years old and only played a handful of games last season, as their sixth defenseman. And if he plays more than 20 games, I'll be surprised this year. I mean, it's all young players. It's all question marks.
Well, fuck, I'm glad I talked to you, because I had them, until right now, winning the Central.
No.
Fuck no?
I would say a healthy estimate would be they'll take third.
Third?
In the Central.
They definitely have to make a fucking wild card, right?
Yeah, I mean, you think they're going to make the playoffs because they always do, but if shit gets crazy and, you know, some of these young players don't really develop, you could see the Blackhawks miss the playoffs. It could be that bad, and that's not a stretch.
Oh my God.
You know,
could you imagine?
The leg.
I know you could imagine, but, I mean, if you've been watching hockey, I mean, just say you're 15 right now. You don't live in a world where the Blackhawks don't dominate. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. You know, the Blackhawks have been, you know, since 2008, 2007, for 10 years now, for a decade.
Lights out. Blackhawks
have pretty much been a dominant team. So.
So where do you think they're going to finish third?
They're going to fall. I think that's not. That's not a far stretch. You still got the Preds, who are going to be good. I don't think they're going to,
I don't think
they're going to be as good as they were last year. But you got Dallas, who improved.
Dude, Dallas looks fucking nasty.
They can still.
Dallas looks fucking nasty. The problem with Dallas
is they come in the playoffs.
Yeah,
they're defensemen. They have done nothing to fix their defense. So they're going to be better than they were last year.
What about Mr. Mathot?
I mean, he is what he is. He's like a middle pair guy. I mean,
or he's gonna be playing top pair, isn't he, down there?
Yeah, which is unfortunate for them.
I think that's unfortunate for them, and it's unfortunate for Ottawa, because I think Ottawa could have used him, and it doesn't really make Dallas. I mean, the name Mathot, when you see it going there, you're like, oh fuck yeah, but like you said. He's better suited being a second pair.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. But, I mean, if you look at their division, I mean, other than the Avalanche and the Jets, the other ones in their division, you got the Stars, the Preds, the Blues, and the Wild. I mean, the Wild didn't have a bad year last year. They only finished 3 points behind the Blackhawks. And for a while there, they were world beaters.
Yes, they were.
They just fell off at the end. The Blues got Tarasenko. They've got their coaching regime change. Maybe Jake Allen figured out how to stop a shot.
I don't know what it is. I can't get behind the Blues, man. I can't get behind the Blues. And I think the Wild took a step. I think the Wild took a step back for some reason.
They didn't really do anything extraordinary. I'm not a big Devin Dubnyk fan, but they played kind of out of their minds for a while.
Yeah, until Columbus checked them when they were on that win streak. Columbus had to give them the old one.
The Blues are not. There's no love for the Blues in Chicago. We never get tired of reminding them that they've never won a cup.
Well, just so you Blues fans know, you've never won a cup.
Yes, you are the only team since that 67 expansion to not win a cup.
The cut gets deeper. So you're thinking a third place finish for the Chicago Blackhawks in the Central Division. Doesn't that sound weird?
I mean, that's a reasonable estimate.
Yeah, fuck, dude. Now that you say it, I might put him in my goddamn wild card.
And you know, this all depends. I mean, there's so many question marks with this roster, and they're all young kids. We're going to have guys playing that have never really seen NHL action before. So it really depends on how they play. And then, you know, you can never predict something like, I mean, the Stars were kind of an inside joke that they're the offseason champs of the year. But no one expected them to do what they did, which is fall off that ledge last year.
Yeah.
They're not going to do that again this year.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to say they're going to win the Cup, but they're not going to be second to last in the Central and, you know, not even over 500.
It won't happen again. So Kane gets the top forward in the NHL right now. Do you agree?
Yeah.
No. No fucking way, dude. Come on. Do you really think he's the best?
It wasn't best forward. It was best wing. But, again, I could see the arguments both ways. I'm not the hugest Kane fan. I personally, as a person, I don't like him. But he is what he is. We're lucky to have a player of that kind of talent. Off the rink, I don't have to necessarily agree with all the stuff that he does.
No, absolutely not.
But he's going to be a Hall of Famer. He's probably the best, or he is the best United States-born player in the NHL right now, and could, at the end of the day, be the best United States-born player ever.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
He is what he is. If you put him at second, I wouldn't argue with you, but there's people like Ovi, man. Ovi doesn't deserve to be sixth on that list, man. He deserves to be further up.
No, shit, no.
Marchand's too high on the list. I mean, this is a fucking mess.
Who was number two?
Kucherov.
Kucherov, yes.
No, thank you.
I saw Laine was real up on that list, and he only played a year. And after he got fucking crushed and at the blue line there, he kind of disappeared a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, And they had all kinds of qualifiers, like, this is the best player right today. But, I mean, he's played 1 year. He could have a sophomore where he kind of falls off a little bit.
Turn into Dylan Larkin.
Yeah, it could very well happen. I mean, someone mentioned it yesterday, and I think maybe we all think that there's this thing with the NHL Network puts these bad lists out so that people will talk about them.
That's 100% true. Because if they just put out a list that everybody likes, they're not fuck, I've never thought about that before. Because they do need to market, and they do need – a conversation about it either way is good. But one that gets heated and gets all these fucking people fired up. I tweeted, like, Patrick Kane, come on now. And I got, like, 5 or 6 hate mail messages from Chicago fans telling me that – I'm a piece of shit. So I was actually stoked about it. I was like, fuck yeah, man.
There's a lot of sensitive people in the fan base. I'm a little more pragmatic, and I could be a little more realistic. You know, I don't always drink the Kool-Aid, so.
Oh, I was happy about it. Like, that's a good thing about a Blackhawks fan. If you do talk shit about them, they will tell you about it. I do appreciate that.
Yeah. I mean, that's part of the culture with, newer fans coming on, some people call them the bandwagon fans or whatever. I don't care either way. As long as my favorite team's, successful and making money, I don't care.
For sure, dude. That's what a lot of people talk shit this year about Columbus, the bandwagon. I was like, fuck, we need bandwagons fans, man. The city had to buy the team out a couple years ago to make sure we stayed a team. We could use every bandwagon fan we can fucking get. And if you can't hop on the bandwagon a 16-game win streak, we're fucking screwed.
Hey, man, put me right on that bandwagon, because the Puck and Hasta crew, we are on the CBG's bandwagon. So you guys are kind of basically our Eastern Conference team. So,
dude, and we will see you at that game, dude. It's going to be a fucking blast.
Oh, for sure.
Give me the 3 stars for the Blackhawks this year. Coming from you, who do you got?
The 3 stars. I'm gonna go. Of course, I gotta go with Patrick Kane, because even when he's dragging bums around the ice, the guy produces.
He does.
He's 2 years removed from winning the Hart. I mean, like I said, I don't like him as a person, but as a player, the guy's excellent. So Patrick Kane's gotta be probably number one.
Especially as an American hockey player. Yeah, fuck yeah.
And he seems to have cleaned up his act a little bit, as they say.
I don't think he's raped anybody in at least a year.
Here. Woo!
Woo!
There you go. My second star, because I'm a goalie and I'm partial to goalies, I'm going to say Corey Crawford.
Fuck yeah, dude. I love seeing a goalie in there.
He's the unsung hero of that team. He doesn't get enough credit. People who, don't watch with who kind of just watch from the outside and see the results, don't think that he just basically stands behind a team that throws no shot, it has no shots coming back his way. And that's just untrue. He sees a lot of shots. And he doesn't get the love he deserves. So I'm going to say Corey Crawford, number two.
And he's going to see more shots this year than he's probably even used to, yeah?
He is going to make every dollar of those $6 million.
Number one, buddy. Who's the number one star?
Well, number one I got for Kane. Number two I got for Crawford. And I'm going to say three. We're going to see a revival season out of Jonathan Toews.
Okay. Why not?
He's got his boy Saad back on his left wing. He's got Dick fucking Panic on his right wing, who he gelled with last year. I think we're going to see a little bit of the – he's had to do just too much. And,
yeah.
I think we're going to see a little bit of a revival out of the captain, Jonathan Toews. And he's taken a lot of heat for being put in that top 100 list.
Dude,
the guy is
– you got to put him in the top 100 list.
Yeah, I mean, we hear so much about it, but you know what? I mean, 3 cups in 6 years. Yeah, I know people are tired of hearing about that, but this guy did it, man. He captained that team 3 cups in 6 years. That's got to hold for something. And he plays in every, he plays in every situation. He plays shorthanded. He plays on the power play. He plays, faceoffs deep in his own zone. There's not a situation where Jonathan Toews can't be put on the ice and isn't used by Joel Quenneville.
He was the captain for all three of them, wasn't he?
Yeah. He's been a captain since like his second or third year in the league.
Okay, enough said. Dude, come on now.
Yeah.
Now, wouldn't this be remarkable? Last scenario here. Blackhawks versus the Penguins. The showdown, the end of the era. Find out who the real champions are. Sidney versus Toews, Kane, Malkin, Crawford, new Matt Murray, Kessel. Dude, that's what I want to see this year. I want to see it, and then we all fucking usher in Connor McDavid and all this shit that's about to happen. But let's see it, dude.
Oh, I would love for nothing more than that. I mean, I actually almost thought we were going to see that last year before the Hawks.
Well, yeah, that's what I fucking picked until your team shit on me.
They shit on all of us, trust me. We had no comeback. Like, we just basically got abused for the rest of the playoffs by fans around the NHL, and we had no comeback.
The Blue Jackets won more games than you guys last year in the playoffs. Yeah.
100%. 100%. But you know what, to me, something like that would be like, it's the tiebreaker with the cups. They
both
have 3 cups.
Yes.
In that
That's what
era.
I'm saying, dude.
The Blackhawks could get revenge for when the Pens basically fleeced them in 92. And, Jagr and Lemieux just came out there and the Blackhawks thought they were going to win the cup. They had the best record. They had, Mike Keenan, they had the whole thing. And the Penguins came in and just fucking donkey punched him.
Hockey gods are real, we will see that cup, and it will fucking be the most watched fucking sports event of next year. Besides, I mean, not Conor McGregor and Mayweather. That doesn't. Well, it'll be next year anyhow. So, dude, it would be legendary. It'd be the be all end all, man.
Yeah, for sure, man. I don't know if it's going to happen, but I'd love to see it.
No, it's going to happen. I'm saying it. It's a hot take. Gatekeeper, dude, thank you so much, man. I appreciate it. You're going to be back on, shortly and often, dude. I love you. We'll get you on with Big Rand sometime. You guys can fucking fight. He's a Penguins fan, and he loves stirring shit.
Yeah, I'm always up for that. I mean, the site name says it all itself, Puck and Hostel. I mean,
dude, he's a huge piece of shit. Tell them where to find you, buddy.
Yeah, you can find us at puckandhostile.com. You can find me on the Twitters at Puck and Hostile. We've also got a Facebook page, Puck and Hostile. Got an Instagram page, Puck and Hostile. And we actually have, for our podcast, the Hawks Shoutcast, at Hawks Shoutcast. You can follow that, too. And we kind of do that every other week, but we do a longer form.
Yeah, it's long as hell.
Yeah, we do about 2.5 to 3 hours every episode. So,
it's so good, you know, though.
Can listen to multiple chapters if you'd like.
It's so good, man. I'm looking forward to hearing you guys this year, man, and I'm looking forward to see what the Blackhawks can do, buddy.
Thanks, my friend. And we'll be watching the CBJs from a distance.
Hey, hit me up about February, okay, bud?
Sure, we'll do, man.
All right, bye-bye.
Take care.
Okay, Biscuit Babies. That was my main man, Gatekeeper, from the Blackhawks Shoutcast. I want to thank him again for coming on and doing a great job. So I guess we're looking for a third place Blackhawks team. The lady here in the background is my sweet daughter, Arwen. She wanted to come out in the studio and say hello to you guys. I still need some people for the team previews, man. I needed somebody for Ottawa. Come on. Where you at? I know y'all don't show up for your fucking hockey games in the playoffs, but show up for the Biscuit, baby. Sabres? There's got to be a Sabres fan left over from the 90s somewhere. Capitals, I don't really fucking care. We might just leave them off. I think they're garbage. The Hurricanes. I'm really interested in getting a Hurricanes fan on here. I'm very excited for them to see what they can do. So hit me up. The Wild. The Dallas Stars. The Ducks. Quack, quack, quack. The Flames. The Coyotes. I need a Coyotes person too. I need them. Don't make me fucking act like I'm someone else. And that's it, dude. That's all I need. So help me out. And I'll help you out with this. 10% off shittycoolers.com. Enter the promo code SHITTYDAY. SHITTYDAYS. It's Shitty Days, not Shitty Day. I lied to you. Isn't that nice? Feeling good as fuck. You know why I feel that good? Lucid Float Spas, bitch. You stupid bitch. Mount Vernon, Ohio. Go talk to Chad. Have him rub you. Have him love you. He's not going to love you. He's going to rub you. He's a fucking masseuse. Went to school for it. And he's going to let you into his float tank. And then he'll let you into his actual float tank. Tell him the Biscuit sent you. You get your first float half off. Idiots. Coast to Coast Hockey. Why not wear a fucking cool shirt? Look at the one you're wearing now. It fucking sucks. Guys, hockey season's coming up. Rate and review us. iTunes. Stitcher Radio. Yes, Aaron, we hear you. Google Play Music, Buzzsprout.com's number fucking one hockey podcast on their website. Parker's Platoon. Don't be a terrorist. Don't be a white supremacist. Go to Parker's Platoon. Donate. Buy a bracelet. Buy a jersey. Buy a cigar box. Don't be a fuck. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. I love you. Freedom. Hockey. The Biscuit!